Hey, what is going on, Clipper people? Ooh. It is me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am just as positive as I was before Game 5, Chuck Montclair.
Still smiling. Can't believe this is my life. we're a couple of best friends and Clipper credential media folks who bring you Locked On Clippers 5 days a week.
Yes, we do. 7 in the morning. Hope you're having a good day when you're listening to this one.
How can you not be having a good day right now? I cannot, like,
Might drop this one a little early because what happened in Phoenix... I don't know. I know
won't
that
stay in Phoenix because we're coming home.
Staying in Phoenix, it was an incredible game from Paul George and the Clippers.
So the Clippers, they pulled it out, backs against the wall, beat the Suns on their home court, 116-102. Interesting to note the margin of victory for the Clippers in these games.
When they win, they win big. You
know? But anyways, we're going to talk about what we liked from that game. So it's just a couple of things that we didn't like. And then it is our favorite day of the week. It's Twitter Tuesday. We asked your questions. People were a little downtrodden. I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, this is going to be kind of like what the buildup of just all of today felt like, because there weren't a lot of submissions to Twitter Tuesday. And a
Absolutely.
Lot of them... It makes sense. People were, it was tepid. We're going to talk about it. It was an insane day.
I had no idea what to think all day. But anyways, can't wait to get into those. As always, you can send in those questions to at Locked On Clips any day of the week. If you want a chance to get it featured on the show, try to do it on Monday. But hey, we may have to throw open that playoff hotline again.
Oh, the playoff hotline definitely might have to be open.
All right. And then in shavings, we're just going to kind of decompress from this game, talk about the series. And then tomorrow we'll obviously have a Game 6 preview for you.
Oh, yeah.
But all that and more coming up right about now. But first, got to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Love
and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. So don't forget to stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, so the Clippers dispatched the Phoenix Suns, 116-102 in Phoenix. Before the game, it was revealed that Vita Zubats has an MCL sprain, so he was out for this one. First game he's missed in 2 years for the Clippers.
So nuts.
Unbelievable.
True Iron Man.
And you know what this team didn't do?
Roll over.
This team did not roll over. This was the most hyped up the Clippers have looked in all the postseason coming out in this game. They came out swinging. Like, the energy was there. I was surprised by how energetic they looked based on pure fatigue.
Just given the amount of games they've played, 18 games in 38 days, I believe, or something like that.
Sure.
This was the most locked in they looked early in a game, possibly all series, definitely in the last two games for sure.
It was literally the best start to a playoff game we've had, like the whole postseason.
It feels like
it was 11-3. Yeah. The Suns also looked like they got slapped in the mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were doing tonight, but they did not seem ready for what the Clippers brought, which was...
They thought this was over. They thought they were taking this home.
I was getting that vibe a bit.
They thought they were on their home court. They were taking this one.
We got to talk about what we liked, and it starts and it doesn't end with Paul George, but it very much starts with him. 41 points, career playoff high in the biggest game of the Clippers season in possibly history. Added 13 boards. 20 points in the third quarter.
Yeah. And he had what, 5 assists?
I mean, the third quarter kind of came out of nowhere because he started a little slow in this one.
He did.
But you have a great note in here about the threes.
Yeah. So he only attempted 6 threes in this one.
Usually I would be furious.
Which, look, I thought that this was kind of a factor in Game 4. I would have liked to see him, you know, get into the rim a little bit more. It was just clear the way that the shots were missing, that the legs weren't quite under him.
Yeah.
So it makes sense that he, you know,
which
he
is
was
weird
having
he was
trouble.
Driving and he was like, well, my legs aren't going to be on the shot.
Yeah.
But he said in the post game he felt his legs were under him in the sense that he could be more aggressive driving. And it's like, however your brain works out, how your tired legs work, PG, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. Also, just kind of a factor I want to talk about in this rest was like, this was the Marcus Morris bounce back game.
Yes.
He, you know, was crucial in the team coming out to an early lead. He had what? I can't even remember how many points he had in that first. It was nuts, though.
He went 7 of 8, I'm pretty sure, in the first quarter.
Yeah. So that was huge for the rest factor for Paul George. We were able to kind of run some more stuff through Morris, which has not really been the case all series. No. And Morris did finish with 22-3-2. And I just think that it's not the only reason, you know, Paul George had to step up and do it, but like,
yeah,
having these other guys, you know, when he's having a slow start, be able to help shoulder some of the load. Well, definitely sets him up to where he can be in a position in that third quarter to come out and have 20 points.
It's insane that he, quote unquote, only played 41 minutes. He played just under 41 minutes.
Yes.
And that seems, and I know there's not a very big margin for what I'm about to say, so low to me in what we all thought this game was shaping up to be.
Definitely.
Which was going to be, I think a lot of people thought this game was going to be a repeat of game four, which was disgusting basketball.
Yeah.
But the Clippers were just fit everywhere they were good tonight. Pat Bev played with fire. He was a victim of some egregious flopping and refing, which we'll talk about.
We will talk about in the next segment.
He hit 1-3. It was a big FU three, so it felt like a six. Great defense. Reggie Jackson, 57% from the floor, 23 points. He's not afraid of anything. And no.
He stays aggressive. He had a dunk at one point.
There's not words for really what he's been doing this postseason.
No.
He's firmly, like, our 1-2 punch is Paul George and Reggie Jackson, and that in no way is even, like, a meme at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just continuing to drop 20 points.
Yeah, and then Morris, you know, when he can step out and have an offensive game, it's huge.
Yep.
He has still been a factor on the floor. I mean, he is still a plus defender overall. You know, when, you know, he's been struggling through his own knock, so it hasn't been as pronounced this series.
For sure. Boogie Cousins played the best 11 minutes he's ever played in his career, because this is in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
15 points in 11 minutes, a few successful agitations.
Yeah.
Which I think absolutely. Is key.
We gotta put together an agitations little...
Yeah,
little,
an analytic. Yeah. An agitation analytic, an AA, you know.
The Aggies.
Yeah. This was peak Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was being a bit of a dick. He took a three, which is kind of insane. But in this kind of game where you're going into it and you're just thinking, like, this team, we knew this team wasn't going to give up.
Yeah.
But you need things like this. You need 15 points and Boogie to be plus six. And he only played 11 minutes.
Well, and the thing is, too, is that helps in minutes when you can't have Paul George on the floor. Like, you need some of those bench guys to be able to kind of set it off, especially when Saric is on the floor. You know, this was our best game, really, against Ayton, I felt.
This was the game that Devin Booker kind of broke out.
Yeah.
He had, you know, 30 points, but and he shot well from three, but no one else could get anything going.
I mean, the factor I feel like was no Zoo. We had to go small.
Yep.
And DeAndre Ayton had his worst game of the series. He was minus 22. He was limited to just 9 field goal attempts. This was absolutely massive without, you know, the one center left on the roster with size able to come in.
And that's another, it's another credit to Ty Lue.
Yeah.
Because things were pretty down in a group chat we're in, kind of in the pregame presser, because Ty Lue looked exhausted, which makes sense because he's been trying to figure out what the hell to do with Zoo out kind of on short notice. The small ball lineup just flummoxed the Suns. We won boards.
Yeah.
We won points in the paint.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
the rebounding was just so aggressive early, and I think that was the key factor in us coming out to a big win. And, you know,
hustle
once again,
stuff, margin stuff.
Like I've said, the margins are narrow. They continue to get narrower as we continue to drop like flies. But I mean, if we can put together another solid rebounding effort like that, you can even weather some of the shooting slumps like we suffered from shooting from three early.
Yeah, for sure. Batum played 30 minutes. 2 points, 8 boards, plus 18. Winning basketball.
Oh,
all
yeah.
All around. Absolutely needed.
I loved him on Chris Paul, too.
Yep. Ty Lue played 8 guys. Rajon Rondo was not one of them.
Yep.
Which is pretty kind of unbelievable.
Pretty telling.
Pretty telling as well. We're going to talk about what we didn't like right now, and most of it is, I mean, Chris Paul flopping, which was... Dude, come on, man. He hurt himself on a flop, trying to flop with a Paul George push-off.
Yeah.
Like, he hurt. And then the Pat Bev one when he tried to bicycle kick an imaginary soccer ball after Pat Bev touched him.
Yeah, so this was, I mean, the Pat Bev flagrant, that's got to be one of, I hate this term, but that's got to be one of, like, the softest flagrants.
I thought you were going to say what JVG said. I was like, damn.
That's got to be one of the softest flagrants of any flagrant.
Yeah.
And he was called by JVG, Jeff Van Gundy, a dirty player.
Yeah, and then he
said... Not for that play specifically, but he's like, he is kind of a dirty player.
He was insane this game. And then Jay Crowder...
smacked Paul George.
And then, yeah, hit him in the face in midair.
Smacked him in the face.
And then JVG said that was the sissification of the game because that was a foul. And it's like, he got hit in the face.
Yeah. And
deliberately.
It wasn't an attempt on Ball.
Yeah. It's just insane. Terrence Mann, offensively, in terms of shooting, kind of a rough game.
Yeah.
2 of 8. But he was so effective in that small ball lineup. He started in the game, which was so clutch. Him and Morris together was great because Mann just brought so much energy and he was buzzing around Ayton. He was very much a thorn in the Suns' side. We also got to see him in kind of the short role.
Yeah.
Which was pretty fun. Not sure how, I mean, we got to see the zone in this game, which worked. Like the Suns were confused, it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what happens when Ty Lue has time to make adjustments, or I guess in this case, no time to make adjustments.
Yeah, I mean, he was just reacting to the scenario. Like I keep using the phrase, like he just has to keep going with the cards that he's been dealt.
Yeah.
And he's managed to make some winning basketball out of it.
How much do we care about fatigue, or are we even thinking about that because we're too high on hope?
It doesn't matter.
Love it.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, backs are against the wall. Like, we know that they're going to bring absolutely every last ounce of whatever is left, and we'll live with the result. Honestly, 100%. Like,
game six.
I could not be happier with this team.
No, it's going to be great. We're talking about
this is the greatest season of Clippers basketball.
Yeah. I'm so excited to see what Staples is going to be like for game six. It's going to be insane. Coming up, we're going to be answering some Twitter Tuesday questions and just talking about what the vibe of today felt like. But first, it's time to highlight the Ultra Player of the Week. As we all know, joy creates success. And this week's Michelob Ultra Player of the Week is the whole damn team.
Absolutely.
We're giving it to the whole team, top to bottom. What on earth is happening? Because it doesn't, like, this is a very anti-Clippers season.
Yeah.
In terms of how things go.
Yeah.
Going down 0-2 apparently is the best thing to happen to any of these guys from a sports psychology perspective, which is great. Glad we're riding that wave. I hope Ty Lue never leaves in this moment. He's one of the best coaches in the NBA.
He is the best coach in the NBA in elimination games.
Literally. He's using a skeleton of an elite roster, which is very well built, of course, but it's not built to withstand what's happened to it. And yet we play.
No game. Roster is.
Yeah. Yet we play game six.
Yeah.
Give Reggie the max. Why not? I'll chip in a couple bucks. Yearly, not all at once. We love it. Will their good play keep up? Who knows? At this point, we're just riding this wave. What we do know is that Michelob Ultra has just 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Hey, what a day. Wonder which Clippers player will be next week's Ultra Player of the Week. Hey, we hope we can give one of those awards out. Michelob Ultra, are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy?
Okay, so we're back with Twitter Tuesday. We mentioned this up top, but
Wacky day.
Yeah, it
vibe-wise.
Understandably so. I mean, I got to be honest. We talked about it last episode. We definitely had the goods to win this game.
Yeah.
You know, would we? Who knows?
When Zoo was ruled out, which we got to take a second. I know we briefly touched on it in the first segment, but it is wild to think about that this was the first game that Zoo has ever missed as a Clipper.
You just don't see stuff like that anymore in this league.
No, especially with lumbering centers.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean,
he's a fleet-footed guy, but, he's still a giant center.
Yeah, it's insane, the durability. So, hoping a speedy recovery for him. Got to work on it. Gives him some more time to work on those hands,
You're that guy. you're ribbing the guy.
In the offseason. Come on.
I'm wondering, for me, it's like timeline-wise, what is the pressure? Like, there's no way that Zoo doesn't want to come back.
Yeah.
They've talked about how they can't even make him sit. Like, it literally takes, I can't imagine what his knee feels like either.
Yeah.
This is holding Zoo out. But that news of him being held out of this game put a bit of a.
Oh, it was a dark cloud for sure. Yeah. I mean, it was a huge damper. Are you kidding?
The belief was still there.
Yeah.
Very much so, but it was just a little, okay. Let's see what Ty Lue can do now. So we got some questions, and they were kind of beating her. No one asked, like, are we going to lose tonight or anything like that. Artemadathian asked, with the emergence of Ty, what other team has a combination of ownership, coaching, and front office that competes with the Clippers going forward? I feel like regardless of what happens tonight, again, this was before Game 5, I feel good knowing we have as good of core as any other team.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be super inclined to agree. There are teams that I feel like have are maybe a little bit more talent heavy in the league for sure.
Look at the Nets.
Yeah,
barely because we have Reggie Jackson.
What's that?
Barely because we have Reggie Jackson.
And front offices. I mean, there are better front offices, but this is a very solid front office.
Yeah.
And ownership. I mean.
We have the richest guy in the world, one of the richest guys in the world. Like, that's kind of weird, but
does hey. Seem to care. I mean, about the like,
he cares about the team in the way that you want the uber wealthy owner to care, which is you love the team, but you know that other
hands
people
off.
Are, you yes, you know that other people are better at running it than you are.
Yeah, he just wants to. Yeah, he wants to delegate to the best people.
Yes.
So no, I agree. Like, it's in a great spot. The biggest question, I mean, that everybody had, right? Like, that was the narrative facing the Clippers. I think even a lot of us as fans wondered, like, okay, but, like, what is this team willing to fight through?
Yeah, for sure. And that was the big issue last season.
And I think they've proved that. So, no, I mean, that's where I'm at on this season. Even if the Clippers would have gone out tonight, I mean, this still would have been the best season in Clippers basketball, you know, we've ever got to enjoy as fans. So,
I'm feeling good.
Really good about where we're at.
Yeah, I'm feeling great. This kind of leads into the next question from Brian Kuhn. He asks, will Kennard be a starter next year?
No.
I don't know, if I'm being honest.
Unless we lose Reggie and we unload another guard.
Because there's some weird variables. Like, that's the variable, right? Like, it seems like it's either between Batum or Reggie for who we, like, can offer a contract that would make sense for them to stay after what they've earned this year.
Just depends. Yeah, I mean, can you get somebody to take a pay cut? I mean, I, you know, it just depends.
Yeah. I think maybe the possibility is there, but
both guys, one thing I will say that the Clippers do have going for them, we've shown these guys that we can optimize them in their roles,
right?
Which, like, if
very
you're
a good point,
I mean, like, if
you know that, you know what's there.
It, so, you know, it depends. Like, it, you know, Batum did just have another kid. If he can get I mean, that's a factor. No, like, sure. If he can get longer, like, more years with, you know, a better overall amount of income, I mean, yeah, maybe that's a factor. But it also could be a factor of a player later in his career.
And he's got the Charlotte money.
coming out of a situation where he wasn't really in the best position to succeed.
Yeah.
Maybe understands now a little bit more about how your fit works.
Yeah.
And would prioritize an organization that's willing to prioritize that.
Yeah. If we lose Batum, I hope we can still keep Lily Batum part of Clippers Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
She's great.
I mean, he's a Clipper for life as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I mean, the Batum battalion will truly never die. Drunken Trent asks, in all capital letters, can we stop with the trade BS?
Who's talking trades? I'm not seeing any trades.
Shouldn't
the
priority be return as much of the current team as possible? I think it's the Damian Lillard thing. I think it's people being like, could the Clippers make a trade for Damian Lillard? First of all,
no. And we don't want him.
It would be a bad fit. I agree with Drunken Trent. The priority should be this team, because this team as constructed, I'll tell you what, I don't think this series would be going to six games if the Clippers were fully healthy. Let's just say.
You imagine these Clippers down only, say, one of three guys.
I don't even know. That is literally feels like a year ago. I think that's the last time the Clippers were only down two starters.
Yeah.
Or one starter, at least. Dubois Love 3, or Dubois Love, don't know what they're going for, says, the Clippers 18-19 playoff was marked by grit and a never-give-up attitude. And we know what happened the year after that with all the mental collapses.
I don't like that word. I don't like the mental collapses.
Fair. Win or lose, this is very clearly a question coming from someone who was nervous about Game 5, which I totally respect. Win or lose, this team's year is reminiscent of that year. So what can they do next year to avoid the same fate? Health. It's just health.
Yeah.
Right now, after seeing what happened in Game 6, it's health.
Yeah.
And they even prioritize it during the season.
Have we also, like,
it's just shit luck.
Have we also turned a corner with Paul George feeling a little bit more empowered to lead this team at points?
At this point, if he doesn't have it, I don't know. Because
I'm saying he's absolutely shown that he can do it. He has done it throughout this entire series. He did it to close out Utah. But I feel like I don't know that he quite felt the same empowerment, certainly not from the coaching staff, maybe not from the organization, that he has this year. And I think that his teammates are fully riding for him in a way that...
I mean, Boogie is. He talked about it postgame, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the best to lace him up.
PG was pretty candid, too, in his postgame. Like, I can't remember who asked. I think it was Tomer. He was like, do you feel like you get a bunch of undue hate? And he was like, yeah, I do. It's a fact. But there's all I can do is go play.
Yeah.
And go play he did.
Yeah.
God, I love this team. X-Shawners asks, when will the pain end? Again,
never. It will classic, never end.
Another classic pregame five question.
This is Clippers fandom.
Not at least for another game, buddy.
It will never end.
You got 48 more hours to deal with it, and it will never end because this is what we signed up for as Clippers fans, and what the Clippers have signed up for is a freaking game six in the Western Conference Finals coming up. We're going to be talking about just trying to catch our breath with what happened tonight and what's been happening this entire playoffs. But first, Will, if I wanted to bet on a game, where could I do that?
If you wanted to bet online, best place to check out is betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, college basketball is donezo, but the NBA, NHL, WNBA, and MLB are all in full swing.
Yes.
BetOnline covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. You can get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline also has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit.
Whoa.
Use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Now that you've placed some bets, you're probably going to get your car fixed. And if you need to get your car fixed, you need to check out Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? Sir, why are you wearing that shirt? It doesn't go with those pants, things like that. And wait while the counter person orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? It makes no sense. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On and their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com.
All right. Ooh. So now we're zooming. We're back with segment three. And honestly,
dude, what is I'm catching my breath from this whole season.
This is just kind of, reaction on the porch, conversation, yeah, about what? Dude, what can you even expect from this team? This team is so predictably unpredictable.
I have no predictions for game six. We're going to do a deep dive into that, obviously, on Wednesday's episode. What day of the week is it even right now? Like, this is the greatest Clippers team of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've only had a single month to enjoy
the
greatness of its postseason run, which is so ridiculous.
Its entire ness, if you will, for all the, I can't remember what movie that's from.
What? Okay, so this is just completely out there.
Let's say
the Clippers make the finals.
Sure.
What the hell are these guys gonna do with a full week off?
Do nothing but grow stronger and more powerful. That's the only thing they
do. You
can
even know what to do with yourself at that point?
I don't know.
Do you drive to the stadium on accident?
Just
do you try
out?
To just take a flight?
Just getting the pregame routine in. I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do between game five and six.
Yeah.
What can you do other than recover? Because Ty Lue is also tinkering with stuff. He's showing guys sets they gotta run. Like, obviously nothing too complicated, but the whirlwind that is happening, not only for fans, But for what these guys are going through, after Paul George puts up 41, he's got to come around 48 hours.
Yeah.
So basically, maybe do the same thing again.
Something kind of interesting. He arrived kind of earlier than normal to the post-game
media.
Yeah, to the post-game media thing. I think that their thoughts were, let's get back to LA as soon as we can tonight, get these guys some rest.
Wheels up.
And they can wake up at least at home.
Waking up at home.
And have, you know, have at least, you know, a full day and a half
tip,
at home.
So it's a little, it's not as bad as the 7:30 tip in terms of the travel. So that's a really good point. I think they're like, let's get these guys home. And it's all based on sleep, right?
Yeah.
Like that's, their travel stuff. Yeah. So it's like, let's get that figured out. But man, I don't like, and added into all this is the fact that one of the assistant coaches got hired to be the head coach of another team.
Yeah.
Which is like a whole, I'm sure that's got to be just a whole like, oh yeah, that's happening too. What? Like, I don't know what to say after watching what Paul George did. And we only have a day to kind of enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, we have forever to enjoy it because, again, this is the greatest Clippers team of all time. Game 6 Western Conference Finals coming up. Whew. What was your favorite part of game 5?
Honestly, just because I've been so down on them all series, like sort of like a DeMarcus Cousins kind of return to form in this very specific way.
Yes.
I mean, he had 15 points. He was only plus 6, but he, you know,
you need like, the 15 to be plus 6, which is classic Boogie.
and the thing is too, is like, this just all tied into the thing of like actually getting Paul George some in-game rest. And
yeah.
I think that was huge for him. Being able to break out in that third. So
was it, and I think it was, he rested in the start of the fourth and the Suns immediately went on like a 6-0 run. Like it was like 2 minutes and 40 seconds of rest. And then the Suns immediately were like, oh, nope, we're going to jump on this. And then Lou was like, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah. And the start of the second, he played like that 9-minute stint to start.
Yeah.
Had a little bit of rest and then, yeah. And it's been one of those things, like I've been really down on the Boogie minutes and still, I mean, unless it's this effective, I don't want him taking 12 field goal attempts.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are now...
Tyloo rode the line.
And we are now down a center, you know, and this was still in... Yes. This was still in only 11 minutes time, which I think is another key factor is that, like, it's a, you know, it's a
Tyloo
very...
Tyloo rode the line.
Still a very limited spurt where you are still playing the margins. But look, man, it's a guy who so much athleticism... So much basketball IQ and
great
like
skill. Yeah, he's a skilled guy.
It's just the hands and the footwork. Like, it's been a bummer to see all that, like, you know, limited or that flame kind of put out by you know, injuries. And then, you know, when you get to that stage of your career, once again, you're not really going to be often put in places where there's an emphasis on optimizing you as a player for where you're at, right?
Good call.
So to see something like this, I mean, I just think that that's, you know, I may never say these words again. I may never give DeMarcus Cousins his roses again, but tonight, man, that was so crucial.
Yeah. I think other than every single Paul George bucket, which just felt like there was a added emphasis to it. I've kind of run out of good things to say about Ty Lue because it's just, he's continuing to not. I mean, coaches know he's a good coach.
Yeah.
People act like
players. Who, know, I mean, players know.
People who watch the game pretend like he's not a good coach, and these things. And there's
I haven't heard that criticism.
Well, you're on Twitter a lot less than I am. but we talked about it with.
That's on you, buddy.
That's very true. With Locked On Cavs host Evan about how teams are, you know, fans are gonna be frustrated by his lineups, and that's been the blueprint. Of these lineups where you're like, oh, we're playing Rondo again, but then he goes away from it and, you know, you win game 5. And it's just, no, I've loved every second of it. And I can't wait to see what happens in game 6.
Yeah.
From his perspective, I want the Clippers to win so badly, but I also do not care in the grand sense, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we were shown in game 5 was, I think, better than any of us expected. And I don't mean that in a way that you'd think that the team was going to lose, but what we saw in game 5 from an on-court perspective and from what this team is feeling right now as a collective group was just wonderful to see as a fan.
I mean, they just, they led almost wire to wire. You know, there was a slight minute, you know, in that third quarter where it looked like, you know, the Suns were going to really wail on us.
Yeah, the fatigue. It was like, oh, is it here?
And and Paul George just said no.
He just said no.
Not today, Satan.
Exactly. Man, Wednesday's episode. We got a game six preview.
Yeah.
Freaking game six.
We made it.
We made it. What you say Wednesday?
Game six of the Western Conference Finals. Long way to go, but believe it.
Long way to go, but we're still there. What you say Wednesday, Paul, over on Locked On Clips. No idea what it's going to be about. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipland, which hopefully is nothing, given how insane this turnaround is. Where can these people? Also, welcome to the Suns fans, if you're listening.
Whatever. Yeah. We're having a good time over here.
Where can these people tell their friends and loved ones to listen to us?
You can check us out on iTunes or the podcast app. We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music, which is great. You can always tell a smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. It works flawlessly. As we mentioned up top, we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific. We'd love to have your listen.
We absolutely would. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.